Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Safety first. Whenever you're out digging in your yard, make sure and have Digger's Hotline come and mark all the places where those underground cables are, or else something bad will happen. Safety first. You need to make sure that not only is your child in the proper car seat and it's turned in the proper direction for their height and weight, but also that the car seat is correctly installed and securely fastened by all those straps. Safety first. When you get closer and closer to retirement, you should transfer more and more of your investments from your higher yielding and higher risk stocks to your lower risk and lower instrument vehicles. Remember, you don't want to lose your principal. Safety first. The idea of safety first permeates our culture. It permeates our thinking. And quite honestly, it makes this parable that Jesus tells seem rather strange. Here Jesus comes, and he tells his disciples not to play it safe. He's talking to his disciples, and he shares a story about a man who leaves for a while, and he gives each of his three servants a different amount of money. Now, oftentimes this is called the parable of the talents, because the Greek word talent is used to quantify the amount of financial investment that each has received. The first man receives 5 talents, or as it's translated in our text, 5 bags of gold. The second servant receives 2, and both of these men invest their money, and they put it to work, and when the master returns, there is a substantial return. The third man, however, simply buries the treasure and waits. And when the master returns, he commends those who have risked his money, and he condemns the servant who has put preservation of principal above everything else. Safety first, it seems, is not how God wants people to handle his money. But the parable really isn't about money at all, is it? It's about wisely using all of the gifts that God has given. And money is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to blessings that God gives his people. The parable is about what disciples do while they wait for the return of the master. Everything in our world belongs to God, and God gives us everything that we have. And not only that, he gives us what we need to support our body and our life in this world. But make no mistake about it, everything belongs to God. And what we do with the resources entrusted to our care does matter to him. So what is Jesus talking about? Well, remember that the parable is told to his disciples on the Tuesday of Holy Week. The initial audience is the 12 disciples. They've gathered around Jesus at the Mount of Olives, and he is teaching them shortly before he goes before Pontius Pilate and then to the cross. He is preparing his disciples for his departure. He will be gone a short time. He will be raised from the dead. But then after 40 days, he is going to leave for a longer period of time. A much longer period of time. And what will he leave his disciples with? If you remember Jesus' last words to his disciples, he promises that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so what Jesus is entrusting to his disciples is the very mission of God. It will be their responsibility to be stewards of the gospel and all of its treasures. And so we see that this parable is a parable of mission. And the point of the parable is that God wants his servants to be aggressively investing in the treasure of the gospel. Until Jesus returns, he wants them to aggressively partner with him in building the kingdom. As God's servants in the world today, we have been entrusted with the gospel, that precious message of salvation, the very mission of God. And we're called to invest that treasure in order to prosper God's kingdom. Yet I wonder if there aren't some times when the people of God are not particularly aggressive when it comes to investing in the gospel. Are there times when we don't sacrifice our time or our energy for the sake of the kingdom? Are there times when, to put it in other words, we play it safe? We put safety first. Are there times when we recognize that we're gifted, but we decide we're just too busy to help out with whatever ministry comes along? Are there needs in our community that our congregation could help with, but we don't suggest it because we might have to get involved personally? Are there times when we shy away from sharing our faith with others because we are afraid of what the response might be? Are there times when we come to church, but we don't live the rest of the week like God's word matters very much to us? We rationalize it. Well, we're Christians, after all. We believe in Jesus, and we're saved, and, well, that's enough for me. I wonder if we recognize what we have been given. If we really see the gift of God's love and favor, the promise that we will spend eternity with a king. We live in a world where an increasing number of people are not following Christ. They're not connected to Jesus. They are heading toward destruction. Should that concern us? Are there times when we play it safe with the gospel? In the parable, the one who didn't invest did so for a reason. The reason that is given is that the reason the third servant chooses to bury his talent is because he sees his master as hard and cruel and basically a thief. But the master is in fact very generous. The amount of trust that this master shows in all of his servants is incredible. A talent was the largest unit of money to measure wealth, and one talent is estimated to be the equivalent of 20 years of daily labor, some say as much as $600,000. And even one talent isn't a lot for this master. This master is incredibly wealthy and willing to share his blessings with others. But the third servant refuses to believe this. In his mind, the master is cruel and unforgiving, and this picture of his master paralyzes him with fear. He can't do anything other than bury it because he's scared. His imagination has created a fearful master who will punish him for the least of anything. This foolish servant reveals his heart's condition, and he refuses to use his talent. Is it our fear that sometimes causes us to play it safe? Should our fear cause us to play it safe? Well, maybe we ask the question, what would happen if we aggressively invested our talent in the work of the kingdom and we lost it all? Well, we should remember, God is not rewarding on the basis of our investments. He doesn't give more to those who have more good works. The servant in the parable is foolish and is judged because of the condition of his heart. Remember that in the parable, both the one who earned 5 and the one who earned 2 received the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. God always gives on the basis of his grace and his mercy, not on the basis of what we have done for him. And we also can remember that being a Christian is all about following the one who didn't play it safe. Jesus knew that the kingdom and the mission of God involved danger. He recognized that it had a great personal cost, and he was willing to give it all for the sake of his people. especially in this season of Lent, that we remember that Jesus came into our world and showed God's reckless, aggressive, and costly love. He came into a world, and the world did not receive him. He was beaten, rejected, and crucified for you and me. He gave his all. He gave it for you and for your sins. For your sins of misplaced fear, or self-centered concern, or foolish priorities. Jesus came into our world and gave himself for you. He dies on the cross so that you can have life, abundant and eternal life. And so perhaps in our world, at least when it comes to the gospel, instead of the motto, safety first, we should have a new way of looking at life. Jesus first. Jesus first in our life. Jesus first in our priorities. Jesus first in our way of looking at the world. What do we do while we wait for the return of Jesus? Well, the parable invites us to look at ourselves as God's servants, to ask what blessings, what talents God has given us, and to consider how they might wisely be used to invest in the work of the kingdom. Here's some things to consider. Do we sometimes underestimate our resources? Someone else, we say, is always more gifted. But remember, God gives according to his grace. And remember that all of you have different skills and abilities. Everyone who is in the body of Christ has the gifts that God has given them. What kind of resources do you have personally? Has he given you time to share with others and the gift of listening or encouraging or mentoring others? Has he blessed you with skills and abilities that you can share? Has he given you resources and financial blessings that might be invested in the work of the kingdom? What resources do we have as a congregation? Why are we here in this time and in this place? Are there needs out there that we can meet? Do we have something that we can share with our friends and our neighbors who don't know Christ? Are we doing all that we can to wisely use the resources that God has entrusted us in service of the gospel? Dear friends in Christ, you are talented. God has given richly. And these blessings are not to be hoarded or buried, but invested, and even invested aggressively in service to the King. And the Master's goal is that his word will be proclaimed, and his Spirit will work to bring blessing and life and salvation to our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us now worship our Lord and Savior through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.